USA Chat with Sat, January 4th, 2024.
Hi everyone. Welcome everyone. I'm sure we are going to have a wonderful gathering, and we open our heart without any expectation, and we just let that roll and see how what happens. The reason I wanted everyone to review the Christmas recording, because I find it very important and something for some of us to understand and be able to help those maybe that they don't understand the teaching very well of the great ones, to just shed light on it and maybe help them to really understand the essence of their teaching. So this is why it was important for me. Now, if anybody has any sharing on that, or everything should be related to these two recording tonight, or if you have a question on it, if you want to ask it yourself, that would be fine. If you want someone else to read it for you, that would be fine too. Then Radha can do it.
Hi, this is Mandana. I just wanted to share one thing about this clip. I just wanted to share that a few days prior to Christmas, I was feeling very sad that our mom was not going to be with us this year, and truly missed her very, very much. While I was preparing these clips, which was during that same time, I was adjusting the volume and had to keep going back and forth to the section where, under the title of I Am the Way, the Light, and the Truth, you say, so the I Am is the key, and I Am, if it is purely held onto, will take us to immense silence of the mind. And that is the origin or the nature of who we were and we are, before the polluted ideas penetrated and covered it. I cannot describe how, where this took me. I experienced omnipresence like never before. And I was very emotional, again, missing my mom. Suddenly, I felt my mom sitting next to me and placing my head on her shoulder and patting my hair. I really felt her. I felt her next to me, to the point that I didn't want to move. I wanted to hold on to that moment. So I just sat there and was completely with her. Just us. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Just us. I have reviewed that section I don't know how many times. And it's the most, it takes me somewhere, again, that I cannot describe. Thank you so much for it. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. And also your sharing is important, and I tell you why. Because one part of the recording, it is said that there is only one consciousness, the consciousness that was in Jesus. It is in me, and it is in you, and it is in Krishna and Rama. So when you really understand in a very deep level what he's saying, then of course there is no distance between your mother's consciousness that lives on. It doesn't die with the body. And yours that is living in the body. So that was a great demonstration to show that there is only one existence, one consciousness, and that is I Am. And another point I wanted to bring is that Moses, when he went on the mountain and he heard God, and he said, "Who are you?" God said, "I am who I am." And then later on, they translated to, "I am that I am." So when he asked God, "Who are you?" he says, "I am who I am." And nothing more or nothing less. And that's another indication that different prophets come down and have exactly the same message, but unfortunately, the mind of men translate it or add to it or misunderstand it to a great, great deal, where the result becomes divided religion, divided prophets. And the truth is one, and yet the human mind divided to many. So go ahead, if there's any other sharing, and then if it's not, Nilufar, you can go ahead and ask question.
The most precious one. I just want to have a sharing. Before Christmas, I was... He touched my heart a long time ago. And I really have love and respect for him. And I was watching the movie, and it got to the point that he said, "Kingdom of God is within me." As soon as he said that, and I was quietly in my room watching that movie, it's like he gave it to me, and I swallowed it. And then it was a deep, deep emptiness. This is the best way that I can explain that. And then in that emptiness, it was only remembrance of Christ consciousness, the one that you talked about in that video, in one of your classes. And that day, I practiced that 20 times to get that feeling again, but I wasn't successful. That was only like a second or maybe a split second. So that's why I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Thaminajan. That's beautiful. When you want to repeat the event that happened to you that is beyond experience, the part of you that wants to reconnect to it is not the one that experienced it in the first place. So it doesn't do us any good. I think the best approach it is not to want that experience back, but to contemplate on the kingdom of God being within. So Nilujan, go ahead if there is no other sharing.
Sajun, the first question and second question are kind of similar, so you may answer both at the same time. First question is, "Hi dear Sat, thank you so much for having you in our lives and be able to use your life-saving tools and wisdom. You said that I am is the key, and I am, if purely hold on to, will take us to immense silence of the mind. My question is, we have a body and we have a mind, and somehow during the day, these two get polluted. What is the best way to stay more and more in this state of I am?"
Well, yes, it is true. But it's like a scale. Say you go to buy apple in the old time. There was a scale with two sides to it. They put the apple in one and they put those metal square things in the other to measure it, how many pounds or how many kilos it is. So we have to live in the body, and there's no doubt about it that the body moves by the mind and the thinker. But as we listen years in and years out, the truth, and we get to have a better understanding of it and start having roots deeper and deeper in our consciousness, it does the trick itself. But we have to have a lot of patience. Just the fact that you know the truth and you can go back to it and review it again now and then, you're way ahead of other people that don't even know what the truth is or have any interest to go after it. So I would say we have to live in the world, but at the same time do what we're doing, listening to the truth, reading the truth, discussing this in the satsang, having some quiet time for ourselves when we get a chance. Little by little, we begin to discriminate what is permanent from what is not. And that is all we can do. That is all we can do. It's like going and to school to learn different subjects. First you're overwhelmed, but you can become expert in the end by just studying. There is no shortcut unless you have done your hard work in another lifetime. I'm still working and practicing. That's that.
Thank you. It's interesting. The second question was very similar, but I'm going to read it because it has one point maybe in it that you may want to explain more. It's asking, can we actively live and work while we are staying with I Am, or we stay with it for a short time and live with the effects of it, which is peace and joy, and again, we have to make another contact of I Am?
Yeah. Again, I think that was answered. The more you are saturated by the truth, the more often you remember, until it becomes automatic. Another thing for us to remember now and then, as much as we can, is that we rush to do different things. We rush to accomplish. We get up from the morning and do so many things we have to do. But we never stop and say, who is doing all of that? For whom am I doing all of this? As soon as you recognize that, the I Am is kept pure again, because you have to feel yourself, and then that's a spark of a light that comes in you and makes you remember it for a while, and then it will be forgotten. But as we do it more and more, it becomes easier to first remember ourselves and then others. If you look into the human way of living, you see that if they think of themselves as in a selfish way, is about their comfort, is about their this, is about their family, is about their own food and all of that. But that's not thinking of yourself. What the truth is asking us is not the ego wanting that we have to observe how much it wants or doesn't want is the feeling of existence. Is a feeling of beingness that was with us from the very, very first breath after birth and will be with us until the last breath and then freely goes on afterwards. Is an unchangeable being that is not touched by any circumstances or any way of thinking. Yeah, go ahead.
The third question, I have to read part of your saying. It's about the I in the midst of me is mighty. He also says, I in the midst of me is mighty. What is this I that is mighty? It is not I am a child or a daughter or a guide or a guru. It is just simply the I, and it is mighty because it is a universal mind, the mind of God or God consciousness. It is not a personal mind. It is not a divided I or a personal I. It has grandeur and encompassing existence. The question is, can you please explain, it is mighty because it is a universal mind. What do you mean by that?
In other words, that what I was saying, it was consciousness, pure mind, pure heart, pure consciousness are one and the same. There is no difference. When the mind is empty, as if you say that the consciousness is pure. When I say empty, that doesn't mean it doesn't think. It just thinks from a higher place. It is not an ordinary thinking. It's more intuitive thinking. It's more spontaneous thinking, is more effective thinking, omniscient thinking. That's what I'm referring to, not a human mind.
Ajahn, do you mean that's the time that when you talk about the mind and the heart merge and are the same?
Yeah, you can say it that way, yes. It's a I've explained it before, where you can use the personal power, which is quite limited, but it looks like it isn't, or you can use the omnipotent power, which is the only real thing.
The last question is about the be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. It is a fact that when you are still, you know that the I am is God, meaning your existence is God. Your beingness is God. Why? Because there is only beingness and existence. Without beingness and existence, none of this Maya would be in motion. The question is, can you please explain what you mean by without the beingness and existence, none of this Maya would be in motion?
I don't know how to explain that. It's listen, if you did not exist, will you be aware of this Maya? You had to exist before this Maya came to your attention, to your consciousness. You cannot not exist and experience life. But that's a fraction of that omnipresent existence. You see, it takes our attention to existence rather than what exists. What exists is outside of us, its five senses follows it. Here's the what is existing outside in the grass and the sound of the bird, the sing of the trees and water. Then we say, oh my gosh, look at how beautiful the nature is. Look at the existence of nature, because I stamped the existence of the nature. But we hardly think that the same existence that is in the tree, in the blade of grass, in the bird, in the every molecule of the water is the same as mine and yours and God's. We are so in tune with division, divided, that we constantly having a problem to see that there is a base. And he also says, I don't know what recording I was talking about, just think of a canvas. Without a canvas, you wouldn't have a beautiful picture, painting. So I think that is why the realized people says, being say, self-inquiry and contemplation is important. Because even to the reasoning mind, it makes sense. There has to be a existence for this manifestation to exist in it. You put your feet on the ground. So the ground is the existence where your feet can hit it, can stand on it. That's just a very ordinary example to make the point. Anyway, let's move on. If there is no more question, let's have more sharing for next few minutes.
سچون اصلا اگه اگزیستنس نباشه مگه اصلا مایایی میتونه وجود داشته باشه؟
نه.
خب همون.
یا.
فقط هیچی دیگه نیست. چون فقط اون چی که اصل من فکر کنم فقط اگزیستنسی که هست. چون بقیهش به قول شاعرا فقط نقش رو آب دیگه.
یپ.
Nietzsche says that I have a question. So if there is no existence, there can be no Maya. Is that correct? And Sat says, that's right. And Mitra says, because as the poets say, only existence is, the rest is just drawing upon water. And Sat says, yes.
Hi, Sat. This is Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
I can't believe just what a wonderful thing this is, because this is giving me so much understanding of these things I've heard for so long, but were not correctly taught, I guess. And these things that are 2,000 years old, of the same things that you've been saying. And when I read Be Still and Know That I Am God, I saw it in a new way that I've never seen it before. And it's exactly what you've been saying. Be still and know that I am God, that's what you've been saying for so long, and I just, it's amazing that it's from so long ago, the same thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's, we were given a chance by the grace to understand the essence of Baba's teaching, the essence of Jesus' teaching, the essence of Muhammad's teaching and Moses' teaching. I don't know how and why, but we are granted this understanding, and it's up to us to really keep it in our treasure house and then when the time is right to share it with others, because I know that the religion has a really bad rap with a lot of people, and that's unfortunate. I mean, Sai Baba came, took the avatar hood in this lifetime. His main mission was to bring the religions, all of them, together as one. And the problem is not the prophets. Although a lot of people that leave the religion, particularly Islam, they blame the prophet. It has nothing to do with the prophet. They worked hard. It's the presentation of an ignorance, human, trying to control, trying to whatever their motive is. And that's, it's not even their fault. They're just very ignorant. But for us to know it and to really treasure it and to know the worth of it, and then if someone comes from Christianity, from Islam, from any religion, we can shed some light if they're open to it. It's like I was talking to a bunch of Muslim in one of our retreat in Bodrum, Turkey, and I knew they were doing a lot of rituals and all of that. And one of them says, well, I don't need to do any of that. I said, no, the truth is not about you leaving what you have. It's to understand it more. And then if the ritual falls off by itself, it's not our decision, then it does. And I really believe that in Islam, and I have always said it, the crux of the most important roots of Islam is La ilaha illallah, means there is nothing but God. And do they understand it? Only mystic understand it. The rest, they're just swimming in falsehood. So I'm very, very grateful to all of us to give our ears to God, to understand the teaching of Baba, that he says, when he says you are God, why? Why does he think I'm God when I go through day and have to solve stupid problem and I'm not happy at times and I'm suffering at the other times? But he's telling the truth. We just don't get it. And now we're beginning to get it. We're beginning to understand. Why, I don't know. Maybe we've been around too long, wandering in the bazaars and crying out. And it's not a one-night journey, and it shouldn't be, because it's so beautiful to let it unfold within us, and then we become a torch for others, and at their time they become a torch for somebody else. And that's how the whole jungle can turn to fire, jungle of ignorance. I mean, I can't get over the fact of what happened between Moses and God. Just that, even, as far as Jewish religion goes. And look what is happening. Anyway, namaste to all of you. Thank you for sharing. Your questions were wonderful. Have a wonderful week until we meet again. Namaste.